Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Metabolism and Menopause Podcast. My name is Stephanie, and I am your host and CEO of Vitality OET. We are a women's nutrition, health, and fitness company that focuses predominantly on women's hormones, particularly as they start going through perimenopause and onwards. We know that you start experiencing so many changes in this time of your life, whether it be hot flashes, night sweats, irritability, brain fog, or that waking around the middle that seems to have come out of absolutely nowhere despite you not changing anything. So you go back to your tried and true methods of cutting calories, cutting carbs, doing a bunch of cardio, yet nothing seems to be working. All the things that you used to do, all this effort you're putting in, nothing is showing for it anymore. But we know now that your body is inherently different than what it was prior to you experiencing these hormonal changes. So our mission here at Vitality is to really help you understand how your body changes in this time of your life so you can reach those health and fitness goals, live a life full of vitality, feel in control and at home in your body again, and really understand how to take care of this new body of yours. So today, we're going to be talking about all things progesterone. I think the last time I talked about progesterone was over a year ago, which is crazy. And I do want to kind of sum things up from different things that we're learning and seeing and experiencing and working with clients and things like that. But I do want to share that we are running a hormonal imbalances workshop on, what day do we have here? April 29th, 2024. So I don't know when you're listening to this, but what we're going to do in that workshop is we're going to go through the most common hormonal imbalances that we see in perimenopause and menopause. It's going to include a hormonal symptom assessment. So you're going to fill out a hormonal symptom assessment. We are going to send you back your results. That way you can really ask all the questions on that webinar or that workshop that you have. You'll get some solutions, some options, a nutritional advice, supplements, if that's something you want to do, how to adjust your exercise, what those mean for your ability to be able to lose weight, and really cover everything. And with the results that you get back, you'll get some of that information too, but pairing that with that workshop will really help you get a lot of the answers that you're looking for. The workshop will be recorded, obviously, so if you can't make it live, you will get a recording, and you can always message me with questions after that as well to really help you resolve these hormonal imbalances so you can feel good and you can finally start seeing changes in your body that you're wanting to see. You'll also get a hormone balancing blueprint and optional supplement recommendations as well. So you get a nice big bundle of all the things to really help move you in the right direction, just because this is a topic of conversation we've been covering a lot. So I want to be able to offer this to everyone. If you want more information, you can head into the show notes for that. There's a link there as well if you have any questions. So progesterone. Let's talk about progesterone. Progesterone is a absolutely wonderful, fantastic hormone, and it makes us feel so good. It also helps sustain your pregnancy, which, funny story, I had a woman messaging me today via Instagram, maybe it was Facebook, I can't remember, and I thought it was really funny. She was asking me some questions. She's like, also, I've met you before. And I was like, what? And she actually did my ultrasound for our 20-week ultrasound, which is so funny. It never mentioned at the time. So I think that's so funny. Such a small world. But if you see me in person, you guys, just come talk to me. I love talking about all these things. Even if my face might not show it, I have a resting bad word face. It doesn't look super approachable if I'm not like actively talking and stuff like that, if I'm zoned out. So like, please just come approach me. You can ask me all the questions. I'm always more than happy to. So back to progesterone, what does it actually do? Because we need to know this stuff before we can understand why it's so important, how do we support it, all those kinds of things. So it is known as that pregnancy hormone since it is needed to prepare the body for conception. It's needed in maintaining your pregnancy, regulating your menstrual cycle. It plays a role in sexual desire, and it's also known as that chill hormone. Progesterone is a wonderful thing. Because when we have better progesterone levels, we have less anxiety, we have fewer mood swings, and we feel less stressed. So when we start feeling changes of stress and things like that, we know our progesterone is going to be lower. If you're someone who starts dealing with a lot of anxiety, it can be because of low progesterone. And unfortunately, Lots of people will just try and give you anti-anxiety medications and things like that, which there's totally a place for it and can be very helpful for some people. However, especially if you start noticing these changes in your perimenopausal years and onwards, we do have to look at progesterone because this can make a huge effect on your cognition, your mental health. And sometimes it's not an anti-anxiety med that's the answer. It's actually your hormones, which is pretty fascinating. The biggest thing about progesterone as well is that it's a counterbalance to estrogen. So these are very much yin and yang. So even when we're talking about postmenopause, for example, people are like, it doesn't matter. My hormones are tanked. They're not imbalanced. I'm like, no, you still have to have a ratio of progesterone to estrogen, even in their lower amounts. Otherwise, we can start experiencing these symptoms and they help keep each other in check. So progesterone also thins your uterine lining while estrogen thickens it. Progesterone helps prevent breast cancers while estrogen can promote the growth of breast cancers. Progesterone can boost your thyroid hormones, your metabolism's better, you have more energy, you're burning more calories at rest, while too much estrogen can suppress thyroid hormone. So that's not saying we don't want estrogen, we want the balance of these two, and that's very important. And when we have healthy levels of progesterone, we feel like we have far less inflammation, it is easier to build more muscle. It helps promote better sleep, which is huge. We all know how terrible we feel when we aren't sleeping. It's protective of heart disease. It helps us use fat for energy. So progesterone really helps with weight management that way. Helps calm our nervous system, makes it easier to cope with stress. So progesterone is just all in all amazing. Maintaining bones, all these wonderful benefits. So you can see how we start to feel not so great if progesterone's too low, especially in comparison with estrogen. We can see how it can affect our health and our energy and our body composition. So it's really important that we support natural, healthy progesterone production. Even as we're seeing that decline, we want to do the best that we can to help support that. We want that balance between estrogen and progesterone. Okay. Progesterone is also anti-androgenic, which means it controls those androgen levels, which are typically known as like those male hormones. And we produce a lot of them in our body. The most common one obviously is being testosterone, that in high levels can be detrimental to our health if they're, again, imbalanced with your other hormones, right? So high androgens can lead to PCOS. So this is something I actually dealt with and struggled with. You can have facial hair growth, or you can have sudden onset of more hair growth on the body. You can have more acne, more oily skin, sudden and excessive weight gain. And I only want to point this out because sometimes when we're looking at things like PCOS or things like that, we don't look at the full picture. Like they're looking at like certain markers that, okay, then yes, you have PCOS because you have this, this, this. But what's causing that PCOS? Is it because our progesterone's too low so then androgens can go up? So the solution wouldn't be like treating the androgens per se. The solution would be let's naturally bring up those progesterone levels, reducing stress, all these kinds of things to then help with the PCOS thing. So we know what you need in order to have PCOS, for example, but what's causing that? Because sometimes we're so zoomed in microscopically that we forget to zoom out and look at the whole body and figure out what are all the steps, cascading steps that are causing this thing. Because it's not just one thing. It's one thing and the other thing. So it's like, okay, progesterone's too low. Why is progesterone too low? Is it because our estrogen's too high compared to progesterone? Is it because our progesterone isn't being produced because there's too much stress? Like there's all these different things that are happening. So we need to be able to zoom out and take a bigger, fuller look at the body and the symptoms that you're experiencing to really understand where the issue is actually coming from. Because that's the biggest question that we always need to answer. So when we have low levels of progesterone, you start feeling not so awesome and start experiencing some not so awesome symptoms like weight gain. This is a big one. You start having more moodiness, depression, anxiety. You're tired all the time. If you're having periods, they become more irregular. Headaches, symptoms of PMS like breast tenderness, bloating, fertility struggles is a big one. Progesterone levels are going to vary throughout our lifespan, being higher in the second half of our menstrual cycle and lower in that first half. But we also are going to see that slow decrease in progesterone as you're going through perimenopause and menopause, as we start passing that reproductive prime. So while we see that slow decrease in progesterone, it doesn't completely tank because we're still having it produced in other parts in our body, primarily in our adrenal glands, which is where that lovely stress hormone cortisol is. That's also where we are helping to produce testosterone. That's also where we're producing estrogen. So the adrenals end up taking up a very big role in hormonal health once we start seeing this decline, and in postmenopause as well. This is why this is so important, that we're like covering all these things. So progesterone levels are super, super intricately, intimately tied to our cortisol levels. We often see far lower progesterone levels than we should, or that women see a huge drop in their progesterone because of stress and their higher cortisol levels in perimenopause. So you're supposed to see this slow, gradual decline of progesterone. But if you think about it, lots of us are going into this perimenopausal part of our lives in a high stress state. So for those of us who like hit it while going through COVID, that sucked. Very high stress. So instead of seeing this nice, slow, gradual decline, now we're seeing this aggressive drop. And then you start feeling like garbage and gaining weight, right? But a lot of us are going into perimenopausal age always dieting, always trying to lose weight, doing a ton of cardio. We're not sleeping. We're go, go, go. We are focusing on our career and deadlines and finances and trying to handle relationships and family dynamics and maybe taking care of sick parents or going through grief. And then we're adding in alcohol and like the temptations of everyday life in terms of like inflammatory foods and all these other things. So we're going into perimenopause and menopause in a pretty high stress, vulnerable state. And you don't view it as that because you're like, I handle it well. My life was worse before. I'm doing a great job. I know how to relax. But all these things are still happening in your body, regardless of what you are telling yourself and how you quote unquote feel you're handling it. That list of things, all those stressors are going to increase your cortisol, decrease progesterone. And then as soon as your body isn't keeping up with progesterone production from our ovaries anymore, we see this huge drop. And then this is where we really start to struggle. And I'm sure many of you can like relate to that. We're like, oh my gosh, yes, that's exactly how I feel. So we see that our progesterone then drops way too quickly, and then estrogen might not drop as quickly with it. So you start having these even more aggressive hormonal symptoms of both low progesterone, but also high estrogen, because you start having estrogen dominant type symptoms, not because you have too much estrogen, but because you have too much estrogen compared to progesterone. So that ratio I was talking about, progesterone isn't keeping estrogen in check. So then it's letting all these crazy symptoms run rampant, which is not a good time. So I want to talk more specifically about how cortisol actually stops or decreases your progesterone production, because I think that's a really important thing for everyone to understand. And when we're under stress, our body is always, always, always going to prioritize producing cortisol over everything else. Cortisol is like number one of the hierarchy of hormones. Everything else falls below it, but that means cortisol also influences all the other hormones below. We're talking insulin, we're talking estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, thyroid, like all the things. So what happens is when our cortisol goes up, we have this thing called pregnenolone, and it is the thing that we need to be able to produce progesterone, and that's in our body. However, when cortisol goes up and we're stressed out, even if you aren't aware of it, your body actually takes pregnenolone and gives it to cortisol, so more cortisol can be produced, as opposed to progesterone. So cortisol goes up, progesterone goes down. Progesterone cannot be produced in a state of stress, okay? And I know a lot of you guys are like, Steph, I cannot get rid of stress. My life is stressful. I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. Totally understand it. It's not realistic to get rid of all the stress in your life. Trust me, my childhood and teenage years were really rough. So I understand that, because this is the biggest hormone issue that I had for years. And I'm talking like decades. It's honestly a miracle in my mind that we were able to get pregnant because of this issue. So I understand this aspect of it, but it's a learning to how can I buffer stress without having to go for massage and meditate and all those kinds of things. But because I can't get rid of stress, right? So it's learning how to buffer stress through nutrition, through a little bit of lifestyle changes by exercising the right way that's appropriate for you, because that's the only way you're going to master this. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. Okay. So when this keeps happening, we keep having this high stress, high cortisol, low progesterone, what happens is it sets us up for something called HPA axis dysregulation. And our HPA axis is our stress response system. And it is really, the brain gets a signal, the brain sends a signal to our adrenals to produce more cortisol. So it doesn't take as much for us to like go into that fight or flight mode like it did before. Or eventually over time, that signal is just go, go, go all the time, but now your body's not producing enough cortisol and you're exhausted and you're tired and you're seeing weight gain and you're really struggling with blood sugars. And that can be from cortisol being too low from being on that high alert HPA axis for so long. Okay. So this is again, going to decrease progesterone, that chill hormones, and just feel like stressed out so much more easily. You're more anxious. You feel like you overreact. Or you're like, gosh, I can't believe I like said that or reacted that way. And it can be from these hormones, and that all this is going to also affect your weight, right? So interestingly enough, sometimes anxiety actually comes from this dysregulation and dysfunction of that stress response system, or hormone imbalances like inflammation, gut imbalances. So we're dealing with lots of bloating or SIBO or things like that. Lack of progesterone. All those things can lead to anxiety, making that stress response worse. So there's a lot of things, again, that we have to figure out. Why is this happening? Like, that's the question that you need to be asking. And if your practitioners aren't asking or trying to figure out, okay, this is low, why? Okay, because of this. Why? Because of this. Why? You have to work backwards. And until you can do that, you're not going to be able to address the root cause. This would be like, I was in a course and they were talking about like detangling like a necklace or your headphone wires. Back in the day when we had wire headphones like this, everyone uses their AirPods and stuff now. But with that, like, you're just pulling, and it gets tighter. We're not actually addressing the root cause, right? We just see a little bit and we're like, oh, this must be the solution. This is the problem. But really what you got to do is you got to wire that headphone exactly where it came from and address, okay, this was what's causing this. Okay, now what's causing this? Now what's causing this? Now what's causing this? In order to keep following that track backwards to be able to actually untangle those headphones, because otherwise it's a mess and you're not actually addressing the root cause. You're not going to get to where you want to be. You might be given some medications and stuff that can be great for like symptoms, but the thing that's causing those symptoms is still happening. And that's where the problem lies. So basically, we've just all been stressed for too long and it's messing things up. That's just like a very good way to summarize that little part. So there are two big things that can happen when progesterone levels are not where they should be. We get either low progesterone symptoms, obviously, but a lot of the times in perimenopause, this can actually cause our estrogen levels to get too high. And then you start experiencing estrogen dominant symptoms. Okay. So this can lead to a lot of symptoms like heavy bleeding. So this is why if you have heavy periods, lots of doctors will just put you on a progesterone-containing birth control to help decrease menstrual bleeding. However, that's not addressing why the progesterone is low. And then we know if we're giving progesterone in the form of progestin, which is what is the main form in birth control, it actually prevents your body from having to produce it on their own. So Coach Brittany and I did a whole podcast on progestin containing birth control and just progestin in general, because some HRT is progestin containing as well, that you should go back to, because it isn't the same as receiving progesterone naturally and producing it naturally. And I think it's very important for people to be aware of the risks that come with that, because for me, stress paired with that birth control really messed me up. Like, a lot. So I think it's really important to be aware of the risks of those things. And then understanding, okay, why is the progesterone low in the beginning? Like, how can we address this? Because that's important. Oops, I'm making my table go up here. Other symptoms is weight gain or trouble losing weight, decreased sex drive, mood swings, depression, PMS, breast tenderness, fibrotic breasts, fibroids, gallbladder problems even, which is surprising for a lot of people, hot flashes, migraines, headaches, depression, anxiety, other mood changes. I always thought that I just ran hot at nighttime and I would wake up like damp sometimes. And like this was like my teens, all my 20s. Like I always just thought like, oh, I just run hot. No, I was having hot flashes and night sweats and wasn't even aware of it because I had such low progesterone, which is wild. So how do we make enough progesterone? We know why it's important. We know the symptoms, all the negative side effects. We know there's a relationship with stress there, but how do we make enough progesterone? The only way to make progesterone is through a healthy menstrual cycle, premenopause, and a luteal phase. So this is approximately 10 to 14 days between 10 to 14 days between ovulation and menstruation. And it is named after the corpus luteum, which is that temporary ovarian cyst that forms after an egg is released. Having a healthy corpus luteum is the only way to make progesterone. So like I mentioned before, during menopause, we make much smaller levels of progesterone. We still manufacture it in the ovaries, just very, very, very little amounts. But the adrenal glands really take over this role. And although the adrenal glands are almost exclusively the source for progesterone, it's also the source for estrogen, like I mentioned before. So remember, adrenal glands, that's where that stress response is, right? Brain sends signals to the adrenals to produce cortisol instead of progesterone. And estrogen is there as well. Okay. So it's important to note that low progesterone can be mistaken for other hormonal imbalances a lot, which is why it's super important to get tested to really know what's going on in your body. Blood work can be good. It only gives you a single moment in time. Taking a Dutch test or saliva test is always ideal because then we can see changes throughout your day because there is natural rises and falls. You take it during a certain part of your cycle as well where like levels are like we can compare it to where you should be in those times. And if you're postmenopause, then you just like put that in there so that you can know. But and then you list also like medications that you're on, any hormone replacement therapy you're on, things like that. But it shows us like, okay, let's say progesterone is low. It shows us, is it getting shuttled more to cortisol production? Is it getting shuttled down to something else? What are the byproducts? Is your body just really good at breaking it down? Is it like accumulating? Like it shows us all of these things, which is really, really important. So if you have issues with progesterone, your levels are low, here are some things for you to do. So here are the solutions you've all been waiting for, right? So one is going to be de-stressing. I know we say this for literally everything, but remember, stress is the cause of over 90% of all things wrong with our bodies. We see this all the time. And this will help slow down the body from stealing that pregnenolone so your body can produce progesterone. Because remember, as long as stress is high, cortisol is being produced, progesterone cannot be produced in times where cortisol is really taking things over. So de-stressing doesn't have to be a massage or a bubble bath because I will never take a bubble bath. I do not like them. I do not find them relaxing. My mind just like races and I don't enjoy it. So for me, honestly, I'd rather color or I would rather, you know, read a book or listen to a podcast or put my feet up. And it doesn't have to be this thing that takes 30 minutes or an hour or this crazy morning routine. I think all of that is crap. Like, do what's realistic for you just for 5 to 10 minutes. Maybe it's just like having a cup of tea, sitting outside with a blanket with your feet in the grass. Like it doesn't have to be anything super big and extravagant, just something to literally slow down your breathing, slow down your heart rate, and just kind of get you grounded again, like relaxing, filling up your cup that way. That's restorative, not through exercise. The next one is ensuring you're eating enough calories, because if we're not eating enough calories, our cortisol goes up. It's a stress on our body. So if you are someone who has been chasing fat loss for a very long time, that's been going from diet, from diet, from diet, from diet, and now all of a sudden you feel very stuck, this is exactly what's going on. Cortisol's up, progesterone can't be produced properly, or it tanked very quickly, resulting in that weight gain or inability to lose weight. So we need to make sure you're eating enough. Because remember how I said that you can't always remove stress from your life? You have to buffer it through nutrition, lifestyle, and the proper activity. So calories are a form of recovery and stress management. Okay. So it's important to make sure you're eating enough food, taking the appropriate diet breaks, eating at an actual true maintenance, and ensure you're eating enough for what your body actually needs and for your hormones to be produced properly. So if you don't know what that number is, just message me. Book a consultation call. We do this for free for anyone who asks. We will give you those numbers. We will tell you how to increase or where you should be. Are you getting enough protein? What does your meal structure look like? We help you with all of this stuff. Okay. The next one is taking a vitamin B complex. So we're not huge on supplements, but vitamin B is amazing. I'm going to be honest. People who've been on birth control for long periods of time. So like we're talking like 2-3 years plus, or you're struggling with hormonal issues, are typically going to be deficient in B vitamins. Progesterone containing birth control is really good at depleting you of those. And not just B12, which is the one people always think of. B vitamins are responsible for cellular metabolism. They are a key component of the progesterone building pathway, and they provide you with lots of energy. So make sure that you're taking it in the morning, because if you take it in the evening, you might not sleep. So try for a B50 complex with water at the start of your day for best results. This is something I've been doing for years, and it's made a huge difference for me. It's something I wish I would have done earlier. Vitamin B is affordable, like it's not a crazy fancy supplement. So that's something that I recommend as well. Increase your healthy fats. So studies have shown that increasing your polyunsaturated fats, so think of like your omega-3s and 9s that come from like flax seeds and fish, for example, can increase your natural progesterone levels. So not to mention healthy fats have a ton of other health benefits too, and really just help with hormone production in general, because hormones are actually built from cholesterol. So you need to make sure you're getting enough fat in your diet. So when we're looking at calorie intake for your whole day, typically I don't like to see women below 20 to 25% of total calories in a day coming from fat. So like I want to see at least 20% of your total calories coming for fat for sure. But you want it to be monounsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats. We want to avoid those saturated and trans fats, because those are the ones that are associated with negative health outcomes. The next thing is we want to make sure that we are correcting any underlying inflammation that you might be having, such as any issues with your gut, for example. This can also have to do with like histamine issues. It can have to do with insulin resistance as well. So this is something just to be aware of. I don't like taking things out of people's diets. So let's just add more anti-inflammatory style foods. Omega-3, if you supplement with that, is also really helpful for counteracting inflammation. So that is a great supplement to take as well. A fish oil, it's awesome. Vitamin C, it's a much needed vitamin for increasing progesterone, believe it or not, and reducing inflammation levels in your body. So taking at least 750 milligrams of vitamin C daily for 3 cycles has been shown to increase progesterone by 8 to 12 ng per milliliter, which is awesome. I personally love having fruit, so vitamin C is not hard for me to get by. I love my fruit, I love my carrots, so try and get your vitamin C from food sources first, obviously, as much as possible, because that's always going to be more beneficial for you. You're also going to get the fiber from it and things like that that you don't really get in supplement form. Exercising appropriately is the next one. So excessive exercise can cause a higher stress on your body, especially if you're not eating before and after your workouts. I did a whole podcast on pre and post workout nutrition that you should go check out. But this can be part of the reason that you're not seeing results, is because you are not eating pre and post workout and realizing the effect it has on your hormones. And it can actually really tank your progesterone as well. So these things are important to be aware of and to understand. Food that helps your body stimulate the production of progesterone. So here is a wonderful list of foods that are great for helping with your progesterone levels. Are you ready? You're going to love some of these. Healthy fats. So we've got our olives, things like that. Fish, you know, the things we talk about, all the anti-inflammatory omega-3, omega-9 fats. Beans are great for you. Dark chocolate, within moderation. This is not a go have a dark chocolate bar every day. That's not what I'm saying here. Citrus, leafy greens, avocados, salmon, shrimp, nuts, pumpkins, spinach, and whole grains. Yes, whole grains. So you can have your bread. Just make sure it's a whole grain option. Same with your pastas, all that kind of stuff. There are also foods that are used to be able to help lower estrogen in the body to help improve that ratio of progesterone to estrogen. And these are bananas, cabbage, shellfish, walnuts, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, and kale. So all good whole foods. Honestly, if you're having a variety of whole foods in your diet, you're probably going to be okay. The next thing you want to do is make sure that we're addressing any nutrient deficiencies. We do a nutrient deficiency assessment with our clients when they come in our program, because there are a few things that are pretty vital in terms of making sure that our hormone production is good. But progesterone in particular, and we're commonly deficient in these nutrients. So these are magnesium, iodine, chromium, and zinc. Magnesium is something that we recommend for most women to take. It's great for hormone producing pathways, great for relaxation, lowering cortisol levels. So actually, the more magnesium you have, the lower your cortisol will be. But if your cortisol is high, it'll deplete you of magnesium. So during times of stress, you recommend upping your dose of magnesium if you can. But it is great, 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 great. We did a webinar about magnesium completely in our Facebook community. So you can go check that out. I did it with Coach Hannah and it was fantastic. There are some other supplements that you can take, but I always say err on the side of caution. Make sure that you get tested first so you know exactly what you're getting into. Because if you take it when you're not supposed to, it can make things worse, right? So Vitex or Chasteberry, it's a medication prepared from the berries of a large Mediterranean tree. It helps to promote ovulation by protecting your hypothalamus from stress, prevents your pituitary gland from making too much prolactin. It also has opiate-like constituents to work on calming down your nervous system. So it's great. For best results, take in the morning before your breakfast, because that's when your body is most receptive to it. And I usually recommend to pulse this supplement and stop it for about 5 days out of every month. So 5 days before the start of your period. And if you don't have periods, then take it 25 days and then off for 5 days to cycle it that way. Also, if you have PCOS, then talk to someone before taking Vitex, because it might not be the best option for supplements because it can increase your luteinizing hormone and make your PCOS worse. So this is why I always recommend, if you're not sure, get tested first. This is super important. We're so quick to jump on all these different supplementations, right? And I'm not just talking about a vitamin B, a magnesium, that's different, but taking these more specific supplements, we're so quick to do it. And you really have to understand, how does it work? How will it affect my body with everything else that I have going on? So get tested if you can, but ask lots of questions, because I have seen women get on HRT and gain a whole bunch of weight because their testosterone wasn't actually low, or they've been taking a certain type of supplement when it wasn't good, or it counteracted or had a reaction with one of the other medications that they were having. So really understanding this stuff is important. So always err on the side of caution with this stuff. It's very important. So if you are in perimenopause or menopause or postmenopause, or even before that, talk to your doctor about testing and possible treatments for progesterone. But the biggest thing is addressing the things that I talked about here. So we're talking about whole foods, adjusting your exercise properly. So eating pre and post workout, we're focusing on resistance training with longer rest periods. We're trying to get stronger. We're not moving the weights quickly. We're slowing stuff down. We're addressing our inflammation. We are making sure we're having vitamin C through fruits and veggies. We're having healthy fats. We're taking a vitamin B complex. You are eating enough food and focusing on de-stressing and figuring out what that actually looks like for you, like what's actually necessary, and we can help you figure that out. But again, as you can see with this, is just one hormonal imbalance. This is just progesterone. And there's so many ifs and ands, and there's tangible things here for you to start working on that'll be super helpful. But for really specific things for your life, it is going to vary person to person, which is exactly why we're running that hormonal imbalance workshop. So again, if you are interested in that, it's on April 28th. April 29th. So make sure that if you have questions about that, message me. There's a link at the bottom of the show notes for you as well. But you're going to get assessed, you're going to get a blueprint, you're going to get your results, you're going to get recommendations. And then in the workshop, we're going to go over all the nitty-gritties of things. And then you can ask all the questions that you have. It will be recorded because, as you can see, some of the stuff is very nuanced. And it absolutely 100% can affect your ability to lose weight and feel good. So we want to give you as much as we can in one big setting to answer your questions so you can move forward in a way that is productive for you. If you found this helpful, please share it, and I will talk to you soon. Bye!